And that's the objective of Satan. That's his objective. As long as he can keep people dependent on other people, then he got them. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Now, what does this word meek mean? The word meek means not you are weak, but not that you are a sissy. It means that you have power, but you keep it under control. It means that you have power and that you harness your power and you funnel it in the direction where it's helping people to do good. You're not trying to exercise power so you can keep people dependent on you and you can keep people under your control. But you, when you're meek, you have power. You have the ability to do this and do that. But you take that power and you use it to the glory of God. You don't use it to keep people enslaved.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of how to have a warm heart in a cold world. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of how to have a warm heart in a cold world.
Across our country, young men that are being killed. In every new abortion clinic that pops up is not out in Wexford. It's not out in Cranberry. It's not out in Mount Pleasant. It's not out in Mount Lebanon. It's right here in our community, right in our city. So they're getting us on that end, and they're getting us on this end. If I've never seen a historic case of modern-day lynching, we're seeing it today. You know, when they were trying to get, you know, when the Africans came over here and during slavery time, and they served the purposes of the people here, and then when the Africans or African Americans began to be liberated, now they had brought all these people from Africa over here, right? And they had begun to reproduce, and now you got a problem. You know, they can't work on the plantation anymore. They can't work on the cotton field anymore. So what we got to do? We got to start getting rid of them. So that from that point, there was a targeted attack. Now, is it any wonder why so many African Americans are killing each other in the African American community? All right? I mean, it's just overwhelming. And when you think about that, they're getting it on the adult end. And now they're getting us on this end. Look at the African American. The African Americans used to be the largest minority in the United States. We're not anymore. All right? Why? Because our population is shrinking. And one of the reasons that it's shrinking, you know, African Americans make up 13% of the population, and yet and still they account for 38% of the abortions. 38%. And we ask, where's our compassion? We're killing our babies in the womb. We're lynching them in the womb. We're not even giving them a chance. Would to God that he would grab our hearts, that God would prick our hearts, and that we would have this, as Jesus said here, that we would have compassion and feel what other people feel. That's the devil. The devil's kingdom. In the devil's kingdom, we got abortion, and we got suicide, and we have murder, and we have black-on-black crime. We got all that in the devil's kingdom. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that keep their hearts in tune with my kingdom. He says, if you want to have a warm heart in a cold world, blessed are the meek. Be humble. Be humble. The world is a cold place because people who have power want to exercise it over others and keep them under their authority. Saddam Hussein, when they raided his palace, look at all the wealth and riches that he had. Gaddafi, look at the life he was living. And look how his people, the majority of them, were living. You see, people who have power let's be honest. People in the devil's kingdom who have power, they want to keep those who are under them subject to them. Now, again, I know this is not going to be a popular message. Donna, you don't have to go sit at the table because you're not going to sell too many CDs today. But when you think about it, again, how do you keep people? And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to elaborate on it, but maybe some of you might get it. And if you get it, you know, you got it. How do you keep people under your control? By keeping them dependent on you. Wow. And that's the objective of Satan. That's his objective. As long as he can keep people dependent on other people, then he got them. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Now, what does this word meek mean? The word meek means not you are weak, but not that you are a sissy. It means that you have power, but you keep it under control. It means that you have power and that you harness your power and you funnel it in the direction where it's helping people to do good. You're not trying to exercise power so you can keep people dependent on you and you can keep people under your control. But you, when you're meek, you have power. You have the ability to do this and do that. But you take that power and you use it to the glory of God. You don't use it to keep people enslaved. Jesus said that if we're going to interrupt the devil's, and that's what we're all about, interrupting Satan's kingdom. Because he is in control. And so it's about time that we bring some godliness to this kingdom that Satan is in control of. And here we as a church, we sit here in Homewood, and we got all this power. This church sits here right on 7745 Tioga Street with all this power, spiritual power, resources. And we need to harness this power, and we need to step out into this community, and we need to make a difference. We need to turn this community upside down. We got some things going, and they might be moving a little slow right now, but through prayer and through more people jumping on board, it's going to be like a snowball, and this thing is going to roll. But we got power, and we got to take the power that God has given us, and we got to harness that power. And we got to funnel it in the right way and see people's lives turned around. Y'all praise God that next Tuesday we're going to have a luncheon here at Bethany for the family whose little boy was killed right down the street. And, you know, just trying to reach out and say, look, the love of God is here. How can we help? How can we help? We're going to have people from the grief ministry and from the counseling ministry and other things that we have to offer. Man, we got to take this power. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that have power, but keep it under control and use it for the right thing. How to have a warm heart in a cold world. Number four, you got to be righteous. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The people of this world are not concerned with doing the right things. They develop elaborate financial schemes to rip people off. How many people have lost their retirement because somebody didn't do the right thing? People use their resources to have illicit sexual relationships. Now we're finding out that people who are receiving funds from public places have gone to hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, right? They've gone to South America, had mistresses with other people's money. This way, people are not doing the right thing. If somebody is going to do right. It should be God's people. God's people ought to be involved in doing the right thing. People rob and murder because they desire money. Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after doing the right things. These are people that are in right standing with God, and they strive to do things and deal with others in a righteous manner. Now, I've shared this with some of you, and y'all probably tired of hearing me say this now, but it's my testimony, and I'll give it. I was going to the gym a couple weeks ago to work out. And there was a little bit of dew on the window. And I turned my wipers on. And, you know, the wipers came, and the dew kept coming. So, you know, my wipers were gone, and it kept getting the dew off my window so I could see. So I get to the health club, I go in and work out, and I get in my car, and I leave. And all of a sudden, I see this piece of paper in my wiper blades. And I said, well, you know, my wipers were gone when I came, and there was no paper in there. I said, maybe my wife came by and put me one of those sweet love me knots on my window, you know? So I said, I don't want that to fly away. right before I got on the parkway, I got out and I took the note off my window, and it said, I hit your car. I said, oh, well, I didn't even know it. You know, I didn't even know it. And you know what was on the rest of the note? Here is the insurance claim. I've already called it into my insurance company. Here's the number for you to call. Here's my name and my phone number. I said, oh, wow, man. Now, there's certain places that you wouldn't, that wouldn't have happened. And, you know, they gave an estimate on my car. It was almost $3,000 worth of damage. Now, I was thinking, you know, isn't it good to know that there's still people in the world that will do the right thing? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you see, even if I turned it into my deductible and my insurance company paid, turned it into my insurance company, I still would have had to pay a deductible. So, you know, this way, you know. Do you know what did Jesus say? Blessed are they who do right things. That's what his kingdom is all about. Now, I don't know if this lady was a Christian or not, but as Christians, God has called us to do the right things. There's a lot of people already doing the wrong things, and the devil's kingdom is made up of people who are doing the wrong things. God says, my people should do the right things. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It says, be compassionate. In verse 7, he says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. People that see the injustices being committed and then just sit back and do nothing about it, that's the world system. That's what the people of the world do. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. This word mourn goes beyond, or the word mourn back in the previous verse talked about feeling compassion. Now Jesus uses the word merciful. And what is mercy? Mercy is compassion in action. So it's one thing to be compassionate, but it's another thing now to step out on your compassion. I think it was this summer, I saw a clip, and they kept running it over and over again about this man who was walking across the street, and I think it was up in New England somewhere, and he got hit by a car, and he was on the street, laying there. And they had these cameras that, you know, I guess they were focused on the store, but part of the street was caught on it. And they showed how that person after person walked by while this man lay right in the street. I said, I find it very hard to believe that this is America. That in America, we can do something like that. We can see a man that's hit lying in the street, but what is it? See, don't let the world let your heart turn cold. Well, I don't want to get involved. Well, you know, I'm going to be late for work. Well, you know, if I sit down and help him, I might have to give him some money. You know, if I reach down and help him, then I might have to stay with him here for a while, and I just don't have time to stay here. And so we lose that mercy. We lose that ability to to reach out because we feel compassion in our heart. Earlier this year, as I was dealing with my situation with my leg, the last infection, I remember sitting at home on a Saturday morning. I remember it very clearly. And I was watching television, and a program came up, and it talked about how that there are still people in the world with leprosy today. I said to myself, I thought pretty much that was a biblical disease. But then to come to find out that there are even leper colonies right here in the United States. And they began to talk about how there was this little boy who was 8 or 9 years old, and he got leprosy, and it ate off his foot, and it was eating off his hands. And then it began to talk about how that he couldn't even be around his friends anymore. And then they showed a lady who was married to this man who had many wives, and how that she got leprosy, and that when she got leprosy, her husband disowned her. And I thought to myself, here I am dealing with my situation with my leg. And I said, I'm hoping and trusting, Lord, that you're going to heal me and I'm going to get better. I said, but here's two people that's not going to get better. Here's a young boy that's not going to get his limbs back. Here's a lady whose the leprosy began to eat off her ears and some of her other extremities. And I said, she's not going to get that back. And right there in my bedroom, I just started crying. I mean, because I was feeling it. And I was looking at my leg, and I was saying, Lord, I'm trusting you that my leg is going to get better, but these people are not going to get better. And my heart began to weep. And I called down there to see, what can I do to begin to support you? I just don't want to feel compassion. I want to have mercy. And I tried to get them this year, and they were coming to our missions conference this year. And it just so happens that they had a big event every 10 years where they bring all their missionaries from around the world home, and they had to be in North Carolina. But they were coming to our conference. But next year, I'm going to get them here. See, what does mercy mean? Mercy means that you have compassion, but then you do something about it. Deacon Boston got up here this morning. And he talked about the Benevolent Fund. And because I sit, you know, on the deacon board and went to deacon board, I can tell you there's a whole lot of people who have needs. There's a whole lot of people who have needs. And thank God that Bethany is just not a church that will talk about and have, well, you know, God bless you, be warmed and filled, go your way. But there's actually a fund here that is used to meet the needs of people. So we just don't want to say that we have compassion, but we want to have mercy. As Deacon Boston said, we've had so many needs that the fund is exhausted. I mean, it's exhausted. And so be prayerful about our benevolent need, about our benevolent fund, because we still want to continue to be people of mercy, people that have compassion, but that just don't feel what other people feel, but then reach out and do something about it. How do you have a warm heart in a cold world? Jesus said in verse 8, be holy, be holy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the world, you have to beware of smiling faces, the handshake that hides a snake, and the pat on the back that has a knife. You got to watch out, because people don't have the best of motives. You know, people and I think that's what kind of turns off people's compassion level, right? You know, you run into all these flim-flammers and scammers, right? And all of a sudden, it begins to affect your compassion and your mercy. And that's why we got to be careful that we don't allow the flim-flammers and the skim-scammers to affect our compassion and our mercy. That, you know, Satan would love nothing more. He would love nothing more for us to just slip on into his kingdom and lose that compassion. because there are unholy people in the world. There are people that have impure motives. But Jesus said, if we can keep our hearts pure, if we will keep our hearts holy, we keep our hearts in tune with Him, that we'll have a warm heart and that we won't have that cold heart. We won't be like that child that was born with a heart of gold, but let the way of the world, let his heart turn stone cold. Stay holy. Stay pure. Keep your heart pure. Don't allow evil motives. Don't always be sitting around thinking about how you can get over on this person and get over on that person. That's not what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is about purity of heart. It's about exercising the principles of God's kingdom of righteousness and joy and peace so that we can be people who integrate and affect the devil's kingdom. And ultimately, that we can usher in the kingdom of God on this earth. And then finally, how do we have a warm heart in a cold world? You got to be forgiven. You got to be forgiven. Jesus says in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You won't find peace in the world. John MacArthur says the following. The world's peace is worthless. Since 36 BC, there have been nearly 15,000 wars. Before World War II, the world had an average of 2.61 new wars every year. But since World War II, despite all mankind's enlightenment and organized efforts for world peace, there have been an average of 3 new wars every year. You're not going to find peace in this world. Satan's kingdom is not about peace. It's about confusion. It's about anger. It's about hatred. It's about bitterness. It's about disruption. It's about all the negativity that surrounds our emotions. That's what the devil's kingdom is all about. Jesus said, if you want to be in my kingdom, blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker is one who reconciles two parties together. That's a peacemaker. Brings two parties together. And a key part of this reconciliation is forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, there can be no reconciliation. Without somebody to bring peace and bring forgiveness to the situation. And Jesus realized the power of forgiveness. And that's why he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Because if we can have a forgiving spirit, that no matter what anybody did to us, that we ought to be able and willing to forgive. God has forgiven you so much. God has forgiven you. And yet and still, you are going to hold something against somebody else. You're going to have to give an account to God when you stand before Him. And that's all in the New Testament. And so, people who are living in the, whether they're Christians, you could be a Christian. If you are sitting here today and you have an unforgiving spirit, you are in the devil's kingdom. You are caught up in the system. That's not God's system. God's system is one of forgiving. And so if we will keep these things in our minds and our hearts in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we will be able to have a warm heart in a cold world. And we won't allow the devil's kingdom to rule and control.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Apostle Paul, Before and After. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Have a Warm Heart in a cold world, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.